Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is Friday, and Budget 2021 was something that dominated the headlines this whole week.
For sure. But there were other stories also in the news. Let's see if we can get through some of them. Yesterday, quite worrying, right? The Singtel customers who had their data is breached. The telcos suffered a cybersecurity breach.
Yeah, that's right. Elsewhere, big tech player Facebook took on Australia over the government's demands that social media companies pay for news content.
Yep. Also, closer to home, international short-term business travelers are able to stay in Singapore without quarantining after Connect at Changi was launched yesterday.
And finally, the shocking news that 8 hectares of Kranji woodland have mistakenly been cleared, with satellite images suggesting the land started disappearing in March last year.
Right. Let's try and break all of this down with U Jin Lee, Managing Director at Glue PR. Jin Lee, of course, previously a Straits Times Tech Editor. Jin Lee, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Elliot. Morning, Manisha.
What an exciting week. Let's get the obvious one out of the way, all right? Budget 2021. GST is set to be imposed on B2C imported non-digital services supplied over the internet or other electronic networks that require human intervention. That's very specific of me. But you're talking about things like interactions with overseas providers of educational learning or fitness training, for example, counseling, telemedicine. I mean, is that enough to push people to go back to the Singapore shops or the Singapore services?
Well, I think it's not so much of pushing people to use local services, but to kind of level the playing field, right? I mean, you remember previously for things like Netflix, there wasn't even GST as well, right? Whereas if you buy a Blu-ray disc from a local shop, you have to pay GST. So I think this is kind of just leveling the playing field for everyone. Like I have some friends who sell toys. I mean, they are retailers, game shop retailers, and they're selling games and toys and statues, right? And sometimes they can't compete or they have lower margins compared to overseas guys that aren't paying GST. Mm. So I think this kind of levels the playing field, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, that becomes completely understandable when you see it from that perspective. Mm. Okay, a big story this week. Personal information of nearly 130,000 Singtel customers was stolen after this recent data breach of a third-party file sharing system. So, you know, the information included NRIC numbers, combination of names, dates of birth, mobile numbers, all of this. I mean, how worrying is this breach?
Well, I think it is very worrying. At the same time, you know, I've been a tech journalist for so many years, and I've seen so many of these breaches over the decades. Sometimes I really think that there can never be security, right? I mean, we've seen enough of this to know that no matter what you are in the digital age, and as we get more connected and even closer and more digital, it's, I think, only going to get worse, right? I somehow am very pessimistic about this. So I think it's important that if we really value our data, you know, only we should take effort to protect it. However, in this age today, it's really impossible, right? We've got to sign up for digital services. We have to sign up for mobile phone services, which is in the Singtel case. Mm. I think Singtel has a lot to answer for because I think there are PDPA rules. I'm not sure whether the PDPC has said anything. Sounds like a breach, right? Mm. And this attack is something called supply chain attack. It has started recently where they don't attack the main company itself, but they attack the vendor supplying different parts to the company. So if you remember, there was a similar case, I think, last year called SolarWinds, mm-hmm. where they attacked the network, right? So mm-hmm. so this is kind of one of the latest trend right now with cybersecurity attacks.
Just a little bit more about the vendor issue. What does that mean for vendors providing? I mean, obviously, this opens jobs, right? You go to third-party vendors, and it's supposed to be good for everybody. But then to people making decisions, for the people making decisions, there has to be even more stringent measures to decide which tender is worthwhile.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we don't have the full details, so I don't have to judge, right? But as I understand, this was like a legacy or end-of-life kind of it's like an enterprise Dropbox, right? And it's a kind of end-of-life system for Acceleon. We don't know whether there was maintenance. You know, usually when you sign up for software or even if you buy if you're a factory and buying a machine, you always sign up for maintenance and you get assurance that things are always secure or things are always up to date. So I'm not sure whether that was that contract. You know, when I look at the documents that were sent by both parties, there's a bit of finger pointing. So, you know, I don't want to pass judgment now, right? But clearly in this case, and also, you know, the reason why it's more transparent now than before is because the government made a ruling, I think 1 or 2 years ago, that if you get attacked, you have to inform the cybersecurity, CFA, right? The Cybersecurity Association. Yeah. So that was the government's move, and you can see that, you know, they are being more transparent. I want to say one more thing about this. You know, I haven't been a journalist so many years. I think it's time for the telcos and the ISPs. They really have to be very transparent. In the past, whenever something happened, they will give some silly reason like software glitch, or you know, I've done that for so many years,
yeah,
right? I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
really time to give the real reason. So this time now, because I think it's a vendor, maybe they are more open to talk about it. But it was their own mistake. I don't think they'll be so forthright, right? And then as journalists, yeah, ex-journalists, you know, and you guys are still there. You know, we have to ask the harder questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Such a fair point you make. Okay, speaking of journalists, oh, we've been having quite the conversation. Let's talk about what's happening in Australia. Facebook blocking all the media content. It was a bit of a surprise, quite a dramatic escalation of this dispute with the government overpaying for news content. Oh, we'd love to get your opinion on this because, you know, isn't it about time that this conversation was had?
Yeah, I mean, wow, this is big, right? I mean, The how do I put this? This is a bit like Tibet is trying to get away from China, and China is going to do something about it. Because whatever is going to happen between Australia and Facebook is going to affect the rest of us, isn't it? Including us in Singapore. I mean, I would very much like to see some help for our own media, right?
Mm.
I mean, we're all struggling. Yeah. I mean, the big question is this: is it fair to impose this on Facebook? On the side of the news media, the argument, I think the Australian Commission's argument was that 80% of ad revenue is going to Facebook and Google, and they should be compensating the news media content that is contributing to this traffic. And then Facebook is coming back and say, oh no, you know, it's only 5% of traffic. So there are merits on both sides, right? But I think if you look at the longer term thing, it is true that the advertising revenue from traditional media has really, really moved over to Google and Facebook, even in Singapore for SPH, right? And that is partly the reason why things aren't so good for the media. And there has been attempts in the past, actually, by Google and Facebook to even try to put our content onto their instant sites, you know, that like Google has a thing called AMP, right, which can load your mobile pages faster.
Okay.
So at the one hand, they're saying we're trying to help news media load faster, content makers load faster. But there's always some kind of a doubt on the true intentions of these big tech giants, right? And unfortunately, I think Facebook, what they did to the Australian sites, and just to be clear, I'm going to try this again. So from Singapore, I went to the Sydney Morning Herald and the Edge Facebook site, and there was nothing there, right? It's an empty page. Mm-hmm. And when I tried to share an article from Sydney Morning Herald, so I went to their website, I took an article, I tried to share on Facebook. Actually, I was blocked. So,
okay.
So what they have done is not only to block Australians from seeing those newspapers on Facebook, they also block us from accessing those content. So it really looks like Facebook is kind of firing the first salvo.
Mm.
You know, they are taking a very, very aggressive stand. And it'll be interesting how it goes, right? I mean, I think they're trying to kind of use the people against the government, right? Like, oh, you know what? There's no Facebook for you anymore, and you suffer, right? This is where it's not our fault, right? We're forced to do this, but it might backfire because if governments of the world come together, right, and they might actually get into trouble, right? And you can see Google, interestingly, broke away from Facebook and has made a deal with Rupert Murdoch's newspapers, right, to pay for the content in Australia.
I would argue that newspapers also need social media to help boost their stories, but that's another convo for another day. We do have to move on because we're running out of time. What are your thoughts on Connect at Changi that was launched yesterday? You think this is going to help boost business travel back to Singapore?
Well, I think there is. It's always nothing like face-to-face meetings, right? Even though we can do things using Zoom and all that. And sometimes certain business deals, it's always good to have face-to-face meetings. Yeah, I mean, I can understand why the government would do that, right? I mean, you have to balance safety versus economic viability, right? And times are not good. Okay, I think as long as you can keep the meeting safe, right? Things can be limited. I think it's a good idea. Yeah, I mean, nothing like face-to-face meetings.
All right, let's wrap up with attention being brought to the Kranji Woodland area. It has mistakenly had over 8 hectares of forested land cleared. That's a strategic connector for animals to reach other areas. Some endangered, some rare species previously spotted there. And it's been going on since March 2020. Will this lead to a bigger push to protect such areas, more scrutiny, harder to get approvals to do clearance?
It's a bit unclear to me what exactly the contractor did. Was it that he cleared the area without getting prior permission to do some of those checks? Or
yeah,
was it
right.
that he wasn't supposed to clear it at all? I mean, if it was a land that he was supposed to clear already, but he did not follow a procedure before clearing, right? It's quite a different culpability from, you know, this guy going around and clearing land is not supposed to clear in the first place. I find it hard to believe that a contractor would accidentally clear parts of forest that he's not supposed to. So it's probably the first case, right? So then that brings back to the issue of why of government policy and why they're clearing it. So that, I think the details are still not quite out yet. I'm sure more will come over the next few weeks.
We've been speaking with U Jin Lee, who is the managing director at Glue PR. Thanks, Jin Lee, for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Hey, thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.